to one, and I thank the Lord for the series of messages and encouragement that we've been hearing. We thank the Lord for Brother Tunde Ajiteru and his comforting words to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, reminding us about the reality of Satan's temptation, how we're led. Often, our expectation is we'll be led to a place of rest, but we're particularly led to a place of trial. And it reminded us that this is an integral part of God's will for us. The Christian walk is full of valleys, full of mountains. And I thank God for the way that He broke it down to us, that our Savior was led. He encouraged us not to give up. The temptation is to always turn the stone into bread, but it's not always the will of God. We bless the Lord for His word in this congregation. And thank the Lord for the encouragement from Brother Usman, speaking about the hope in our kids and how God is quietly working and the importance of mentorship, relentlessly mentoring and being about what Christ has called us to do. And the remarkable exhortation from Tommy, letting us know that from the lives of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who were not particularly in a good place in life, they were slaves. But the power of God was revealed. Even in their situation, they were able to glorify the Lord. And she paralleled that with some of our experiences so that we will not be discouraged. That even in this, in our experiences, we're able to glorify the Lord. We're able to magnify the Lord. May God's word continue to grow in the midst of us in Jesus' name. The last time I was standing, I began to speak on, Behold, I come. I began honestly, and I want you to travel with me a little bit. Just a minute. Just forget a little bit about what is going on in your life right now. Just a little bit. And think upon the day, and that day is a day on the calendar when you will see Jesus. When there'll be no more work, no more Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, weekend dead ends. When the school seasons will stop, the yellow buses will stop running. When the universe will be shut down. And there'll be nothing else to do but to come face to face with our Savior Jesus Christ. No more work, no more business. No more children, no more husband, no more wife, no more tears, no more sorrow. Just the final word regarding your life, your soul, not your body, your soul. Behold, I come is why you and I are here today. We cited the last time we spoke about this, the scripture. In which Paul pointed out to us that if in this world alone, 1 Corinthians 15, 19, we Christians have hope, honestly, we're the most miserable people on earth. It's not worth it. If our consolation, our joy was in this world alone, then we're no better than anyone else. But glory be to God, we're looking forward to something much better. If in this world alone, if for what we see, how we feel alone, we are Christians, then all the pains, all the insults, all the moral dilemma that we subject ourselves to for the sake of righteousness will not be worth it. All the suffering of missionaries, of the apostles who died on the cross, all of our relatives who have died, and the hope that we have in seeing them will not be worth it because there will be no hope, no resurrection. There will be no point turning the other cheek, feeling guilty about sin because in this world we may as well eat and drink for tomorrow we die. But this, we often forget that, and we ought to remind ourselves, and I want to remind, that's why I'm preaching this sermon again, and I want to continue where we started from. You and I are here today because the Son of God has promised you a better future. There's only one problem with our promise. Romans 8, 24 to 26 says, we are saved by hope, But hope that is seen is not hope. That's the problem. It doesn't feel real. We don't have the key to the Cadillac in our hands. We don't have the key to the mansion in our hands. So that's the problem. We do not see it yet. And because we do not see it, we get tired. We get weary. We give up. I'm sure all of us, since we are in that old young dichotomy now, I don't know when I remember clearly when I was standing in this same pulpit and I was considered young. Now suddenly I'm old. Feels like yesterday. Thank you. Right? All of us remember some people that we started this race in who were fervent in spirit. But they are no longer fervent. They've grown tired. It's a very, very long and tiresome journey. Unless you are going to lie. It's not at all easy to be a Christian. It's so difficult that Christ said it's those who endure to the end that will be saved. So he said we should encourage one another. And when our Lord in Revelation chapter 22, which we read, and I'm going to read a portion. I'll just read from verse 1. The Lord showed to John a pure river of water that was clear as crystal, and this was coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And these fruits were for the healing of the nations. Because there shall be no more curse, and there's a lot of curse, as you know, around now. A lot of wickedness, kidnapping, murder. The other time we heard about a CEO with family, with children, just gone down on the streets of New York. And that's the one we hear about. At this point, somewhere in the world, someone has stolen a woman and is hiding a child in a basement to abuse them. I like to shake us out of our innocence this morning in case you are feeling pity for yourself. This world is full of evil. There's a woman being abused by her husband as we speak. There are people practicing witchcraft as we speak. There are people suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder as we speak. There are children living in the shadows of bomb blasts in this quiet, serene, lovely Sunday that we're able to worship the Lord. There are people being tortured in the dungeons for being Christians in China as we speak. There's Boko Haram or ISIS slaughtering some Christians and burning their churches. This is a wicked world that we live in, and it's in need of redemption. These are realities. In case your problem this morning is that you could not get your cup of tea before you came. These are realities that by the grace of God, he has spared you and I from. There are some people who for years have been praying, who have gone to school and have their PhDs, and they cannot work because they don't have immigration permits. The one that you got without thinking about it as we speak. God has divided to all nations, all people, different kinds of trials, different kinds of burdens. I'm not saying one is bigger than the other, because the Lord that gives a burden also grants grace. I don't know how Peter was able, or rather, we had a brother stand in this pulpit several years ago that the gun was put to him, to his neck, and he would not deny Jesus. Can you imagine if you were in those shoes? That is his cross. He's no stronger than you and I. The same God who sustained him. At the point of the trial that you are in today, until you see Jesus, be faithful, he will sustain you. He did not say that we are not going to suffer things. He said, through it all, we are more than conquerors. And there's that myth that somehow we Christians will be excused. No, I've searched the Bible through and through. The people who are waiting for Jesus, they suffer persecutions. They lose their businesses. They lose their jobs. They lose their children. They lose their husbands. They lose their wives. It's so common. That's because there's a curse. But the Lord Jesus redeems us. There shall be no more curse when we see Jesus, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Do you not long for this period? When you will no longer need WhatsApp to speak to your relatives. Mommy, when your wife will no longer grieve you and your husband will no longer grieve you. Because not only will you understand and see one another's words, you will know one another's thoughts automatically because nothing will be hidden anymore. All of the bad things would have gone away. You will put your hands in the holes of the cobra and you will not be beaten. The lion and the lamb, they will lie together in fellowship. The whole of creation is waiting. And I just want to remind you this morning that this is why you became a Christian. Every other consolation that is less than this ends in this world. You may have married the most gentle person on earth. Your marriage may end 60 years. Your children may be as meek as mice. You may have all the degrees in this world. There's still no consolation in this world. As long as Satan is alive, he has been commissioned to trouble your soul and to build your patience so that you are longing for the coming of Jesus. So we read in 2 Peter where the Bible says, he will appear to those who what? Waiting for him. Behold, I come. Verse 6. It says, in that place there will be no night, there will be no lamp, there will be no light of the sun. So there's no need for solar panel. No need for electricity. Many times we forget, but this was the hope that helped everybody who would rather give their life than succumb to Jesus. Because they believe, actually, we use the word believe, and we really do not know what believe means. Because we really do not query, what do we really believe in? He says, I believe Jesus is Lord. So congratulations. Even devils know that he's Lord because their king was there in heaven and was with Jesus at some point. When you say you believe, what you're saying is, I believe Jesus is coming for me. I believe that I'm no longer guilty before God. I believe that I've been chosen. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy person. I'm a peculiar holy nation. And there's hidden for me a crown of glory. And God is coming to give me a crown of glory. So if you lock me up in a cell, yes, you can kill my body, but my crown of glory is still mine. I believe the moment I am absent from the flesh, there's substance in belief. What do you believe? This was why you became a Christian. I don't think you became a Christian because you thought that if you become a Christian, you will pass your exams. Because, of course, you know a lot of people who are not Christians, and yet they pass their exams. Dr. Cheney, are the most brilliant technologists today, are they Christians? By far, we work for them. Is the owner of Amazon a Christian? Google, is he a Christian? Is Zuckerberg, or whatever his name is, Mark, is he a Christian? Brilliant. If brilliance was the measure of Christianity, you don't need Christ. But there's something the world cannot have that you and I, for the sake, because of Jesus, we have today. He is coming for you and for me. A place where there's no light, no sun. Where God gives the light, no electricity bills. where there will be no end. To everything under the sun, Ecclesiastes says, there's an end. There's a time. There's a season, harvest time, time to plant, time to uproot, time to set up, time to cry, time to laugh. But there will come a time that will be a forever time. Once Jesus comes, it's forever. And blessed are the souls that will go with Jesus. These are supernatural truths. The anchor of our soul. This is the promise of Jesus. This is where death has no sting for us. The grave has no victory for us. The hope, our hope of salvation, Christ in us, our hope of glory. May the Lord strengthen us with this hope. He is coming. Whether you are a slave, whether you are a boss, whether you are poor, whether you are rich, be you healthy, be you unwell today, Jesus is coming for you. He said we should go to the mountaintop and proclaim these things. And I've really raised my voice a little bit more because as I'm preaching to you, I'm also preaching to myself. Then he said to me, these words, they are faithful. Brother Peter, they are faithful. Sister Kenny, they are faithful. It doesn't feel like it now, Grandma, does it? It just doesn't gel with our reality. And he knows it. So he says, Brother Usman, he says, they are faithful. I can imagine the Lord Jesus will be saying, Father, I wish you could show them now. But in the beginning of this book, he said, it's for a season. And the angels, I wish these people will know what it is that God has planned for them. But he gives us his words. He said, they are faithful and they are true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The world is going on like Jesus is not coming, like our faith is just like a country club. We make the rules, you know? And a lot of people have become tired. But let us always remind one another that Jesus is the head of the church and Jesus is coming. Let us, those who are downtrodden, let's encourage them with the hope of his coming. That's why, you know, counseling is very difficult for us Christians because we are humans as well. You know why? We really want to solve the problem now. Most of us, if we had the power to just make the problem go away, our choice is to just make it go away. And it's very frustrating, especially when you're praying about it. And the problem is, Lord, I know you are true. Just make it happen for these people so that he will see your majesty and your glory. It will be so much more easier, Lord, if you can just do it now. But those of you who cancel, what do you find? Does the Lord do all of those things in your timing? It's very frustrating. As frustrating as it must have been for Jesus, when he went, first, 30 years, nothing. Then for 3 years, up and at, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. And they kept laughing at him. If only you could see and know what I know. But it's true. Behold, I'm coming. And he said, quickly. And last time we talked about this, we said we must continually repeat these things to ourselves. Why? Yes, so that no one will take this crown away from us. Revelation 3:11. Satan has taken the crown of glory from many Christians. Many of us think we're Christians so that our business will do well. Many of us think that we're Christians so that our marriages will work. And then when we see Christians whose marriages are not working, we tend to mock them and think it's because they are not good enough Christians. Many of us think we are Christians. Poor people are not Christians. So when we see poor Christians, we despise them. And we forget that the best Christians are actually the poor ones. The contradictions. But we are Christians because we share a common hope in the Messiah, who was neither rich nor married. But you know, that's one of the ironies about Christians. No wonder the Lord said we must convert and be like little children to inherit. Do you know these things were much clearer when we were younger? Oh, Jesus is coming soon. I don't want to sin. Innocence. I pray that we will go back to those days of innocence when we long for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of our Lord is imminent. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 11. Some of you please read that. Let's open to 2 Peter chapter 3. Yeah, it's right there. Someone should kindly read. You can read from the screen. Can you share a few more verses?
Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful in the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For they will willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out there, out of water and in the water, by which the world and then existed perished, being flooded with water, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is all 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the world and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?
Great, thank you, Inshallah. Isn't that what we're facing today? There are scoffers. They're saying, so many people have been proclaiming for centuries that Jesus is coming and he's yet to come, that it will never happen. And last week I pointed out there's a famous man in Texas who's actually advising us, a preacher, that we should live our best lives now. You all know, some of you know, live your best lives now. But no, Peter here tells us Jesus is coming. It may look long to us human beings, but the Lord also pointed out to us 2-3 weeks ago that, by the way, you're not going to have to wait 1,000 years, brothers and sisters. None of you, we need to wait 1,000. We only have to wait 90 years if we're lucky. And then your judgment will come. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it's been given unto man once to die. That is when the end comes for you. Once you close your eyes, your case is closed. There's no more opportunity for appeal. You will meet Jesus either in his kindness as a believer or in his terror as a judge. Our God is a consuming fire. There's no purgatory. There's nothing. Now is the accepted time. Your forever eternal decision, how you live your life, must be made now in truth, in righteousness. There will be no opportunity for repentance after death. And you know the funny thing? None of us know the time that our time will come. I've heard of people who left church. And everybody left church. And suddenly everybody started receiving a call that the person who just led worship in church passed. I've had a man stand on the pulpit, heard about men to proclaim the word of God, and they were, that was their last day. When they woke up, they did not know that. Young people die, old people die. All will be judged alike. All are subject to God's word. All will stand before the judgment throne of God to give account of what they have done in the flesh, whether it's according to God's will or not. That's why the gospel is serious, brothers and sisters. It's the hope of mankind. The gospel is what unites and brings fresh opportunity since the Garden of Eden, where men fell. For all of us, we had sinned and we fell short of the glory of God. But we are now being freely reconciled through the blood of Jesus, and many scoffers. Satan is using scoffers to say, this hope is a hoax. That's what we're struggling against. There are many people with very prosperous life. Last time we talked about Lazarus and the rich man. When they were on earth, everybody would want to be. But because we know the story, who would you rather be? Tell me, whose life will you rather have? I don't see anybody getting on the pulpit and say, desire the life of Lazarus, because that's the life that leads to life. Brethren, our Lord Jesus came for something. He did not come for a palliative. He came to save our souls. What led the Son of God to the cross was a serious thing. There was no hope for mankind. The Lord did not blink in the days of Jonah. A whole civilization was wiped out. And that was about to happen because we were without hope in the world. But he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Through the foolishness of preaching, through the absurdity, the simplicity of what we are talking about, to save your soul. And only few people will be saved. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you carnal Christianity, that all Jesus expects of you is just to make confessions. No, he has come to make you a new person. He has come to make you a peculiar person. There's real substance to salvation. And our job as preachers is to stir you up, to cry to the Lord who loves you, so that you will save yourself from this untoward generation and the fate that is to come upon all mankind. On that day, the Bible did not say there will be rejoicing and clapping. What does the Bible say? There will be what? You may not like this, but I must preach God's word. Let others preach other things. I stand on the word of God that will save our souls. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Young and old, we have a decision to make to follow Jesus. The Lord said that he that will come after him must do what? The Lord did not assume we will not have crosses. He said, we will, but we must take it up daily and follow him. Behold, I am coming, says the Lord. And I think we should encourage ourselves. It is imminent. Matthew chapter 24, but from verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows. The angels in heaven do not know. The Father only knows. But as of the days of Noah were, did I say Jonah when I was talking? I think I might have said Jonah. Okay, for as of the days of Noah were, so also with the coming of the Son of Man be. Can you imagine that, brethren? For as in the days of the flood, they are going to be having parties, eating and drinking. They'll be marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah, until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also with the coming of the Son of Man be. This you can read that when you get home. Two people will be, men will be in the field. Suddenly, imagine this, one of those men will be taken and the other will be left behind. Two women will be grinding. No, nobody grind. Well, people still grind. At the mill, or will be at the blender or microwave. One will be taken and the other will be left. That's how it will happen. There will be two sisters. One sister will disappear suddenly. The other will be left. There will be, just pray you are not taken. Well, yeah, it doesn't matter where we are. We'll go in Jesus' name. For those who will be in Uber, if the driver is taken and you are left behind, that's double jeopardy. You will die in the blood. That person will die in the body and in the spirit as well. Or in the plane, and a pilot is taken. I just pray you will not be around to see what happened in Jesus' name. For those of you that like to fly left, right, and center, should we start praying for non-Christian pilots? But we'll be gone by the grace of God. A day of chaos. And the church is not ready for chaos. We are ready for order. We are aligning ourselves with world order, the way the world used to be. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Because if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Brethren, very few Christians still believe what we're saying. We believe it in the head, but we're not preparing for it as though it's real. Joni Erickson Tada, right? A lady of, oh my goodness. May the Lord help us. May the Lord inspire. May the Lord expose us to real Christianity. Real Christianity. Here's a child of God who is baptized, cannot do something, do anything. And she still finds the joy in the Lord. May Lord give us joy. I pray that Satan will not use sorrow to draw us away from the hope of his coming. I pray that we will overcome in spite of. I pray we will not be those who will buckle under the pressures of life, but we will hold on until Jesus comes. The tenor, the substance, the taste of real faith is quite different from what we see, brothers and sisters. Nothing can touch the conviction and the joy of a true child of God. Romans 8 tells us, what is it that can separate us from the love that God has loved us? What is it? Not present things, not things to come, not persecution, not pestilence, not trials. Nothing can separate us. I want you to remember this. God loves us. And all of these trials are designed to sift us, to prepare us. James said that we should let patience have its full work in us. Let's comfort one another with this. Be ready. Behold, I come. When the Lord went in Acts chapter 1, verse 10, we did this 3 weeks. I just want to remind us of this. They said they were looking in the sky, those who were present, and an angel just went, you know what? Why are you guys just looking and said the same Jesus that you see going up, you will see him in the same like manner. He will come back. The Bible says every eyes will see him, even the eyes of those that crucified him, and some will hide under a rock. Will not be part of those who hide under a rock. We're part of those that will say, Lord, we have done your will and we are ready for your coming in Jesus' name. 25th chapter of the book of Matthew talks about the five foolish and the five wise virgins. They were all virgins. The foolish ones were not ready for the coming. They were just in there for the event. They were dressed for it. They had enough oil to last for the waiting. They did not have enough oil. They were in, they were virgins, but they did not have oil. They were just doing church. They are going for fellowship, they are fasting, they are praying, they are doing, everybody called them virgins, right? It was on when Jesus came that we know they were not really what? Bride. I pray that you will not just be a virgin, you will be married in Jesus' name. I mean, married means finally you will be joined together with Jesus. Because what's the point being in church when you won't pass the final exam? The final exam is that you should be expecting his coming. We should live our lives for the glory of the Lord. Separate yourself from the masses. Encourage one another with this word. The Lord did not tell his disciples, you are going to have a hooky-doory. Life will be easy for you, Brother Bumi. It shall be well with you. You will marry doctor and born doctor, and your doctor will born more doctor. So your house is full of doctor. He did not say that. He said, in this world, you are going to have trials. Tell me, what's the summary of your life, Brother Bumi? Has it been easy? Jacob was asked this. He said, my life has been long and full of sorrow. So where did this myth come? That through Jekelede, we'll inherit the kingdom. It's a myth from Satan. I wish we strengthen ourselves with truth so that when the trials come, we have people supporting us. Say, no, no, do not count it strange, my brothers. The Lord will help you through it. Let us wait for Jesus. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that those Christians who are not waiting for Jesus, the temptation that I see is that they will start taking their consolation from the world. They will look to their marriages. They will look to their children. They will look to their jobs. But all of those are fickle hopes. And even they know it. But Jesus is our eternal hope. So let us prepare. 2 weeks ago, we said, how do we prepare? Titus 2:11. Denying yourself, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is how, number one way. It's a commandment from the Lord. Deny. That's in Titus 2:11. Say, teaching us that the grace of God that brings salvation appears to all men, and it's not passive grace. This is what grace does. It teaches, it instructs us that we should deny ourselves, deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and live what? A sober life, righteous life, and godly life in this world while we're looking to a hope. That is the appearing of Jesus. This element must never be missing in your life. When you wake up in the morning, look to the appearing of Jesus. Deny every temptation, every ungodliness, and look to Jesus for the blessed appearing. This element must never, never let it be separate. Don't let your faith, your experience of God, be absent of a blessed hope of waking up and waiting for Jesus to return and denying all this. Listen, before you wake up, Satan has a list of suggestions for you for the day. The people you must insult, the people you must be angry with, the fear that you must entertain, the danger that is coming at you, the injustice that the world is putting upon you. Deny all of them And he said, set your face to Jesus. As Satan is making a list for you, make a separate list for yourself that my Lord is coming. No matter what, it is well with my soul. The righteous will live by faith. Luke 12, 35 to 36, for those who are writing this, say, let your ways be girded and your lamps be burning. You yourself be like men who are waiting for someone for their master. That's how you prepare. Your waist should be guarded and your lamps should be burning and you are waiting for your master. He said, that's how Jesus wants us to be like that. 1 John 2, 1 to 3. He said, and every man that has this hope in him, purify yourself the same way that Jesus is pure. Satan has come to whisper to some of us that, did the Lord really say? You know, I mean, we read this in the Bible, how he even tried it with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But don't compare yourself to others. You are a pilgrim. Compare yourself to those who have made it. Do you know who I compare myself to? You think I compare myself to everybody here? You people are human beings. If I make any of you my mentor, when you fall, I will fall after you. You know who my mentors are? I compare myself to John, to Paul. I compare myself to Peter. Those, I know, at least from the world, I know those ones have made it. By the grace of God, I know Brother Bubi will make it, but he will make it in Jesus' name. But just, he will make it. Let's full stop. I don't compare myself to Brother Tola. He's human. When we get there and we're Brother Tola, you made it. Yes, what's your home address? I'm in Diamond. Me, I'm in Sapphire. But I know Peter is there, so I'm asking, how did Peter live his life? How did Paul live it? Some of you are comparing yourself to ministers. Men, mere men. And I'm closing this sermon by telling you a story of perhaps one of the most renowned ministers in the Bible and what happened to him. I'll just tell the story. 2 Kings chapter 3, right? It's the first king. Right. The story of Solomon. Let's go there. I'm going to close this. I was going to abbreviate, but let me go to it. We must make it as we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we see here how Solomon pleased the Lord, right? The Bible says that King went to Gibeon. From verse 10, when Solomon prayed to the Lord and he pleased him. And the Lord said to Solomon, you're so well behaved. You did not ask for riches for yourself. You did not ask for the life of your enemies. You did not ask for yourself understanding to discern justice. Some of the things we pray for. He said, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you wise and understanding hearts so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be any like that will arise after you. I've also given you what you have not asked for, riches and honor, so there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of the earth. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke. That was the first time that the Lord met with Solomon in Gibeon. And he made him wise. He was so wise that he did not just see what people said, he read people's mind. Remember? Two prostitutes came to Solomon, unknown wisdom. One said, we both had babies. This one took my baby because she slept on her own baby and the baby died. God's wisdom so shone through Solomon's ministry that Solomon said, bring out a knife. Which one of you would have thought of that? Bring out a knife. Divide the baby. And I'm sure the guards, all of them were, wow, kill a baby? But Solomon had the wisdom of God to know a true mother will not allow her child to be killed. And as they were going to split the baby, the real mother said, no, 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 please, 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 give the child to this woman. The other one said, no, no, let's share the child equally. And Solomon said, this is the owner of the child. give them. That wisdom could only have come. The Bible says he was so wise that when the king of, what's his name? Queen of Sheba, or Sheba, queen of Ethiopia, came, she fainted. Just fainted at the protocol, the wisdom, the answer to questions, the decorum in the palace of Solomon. This man tasted the Lord, if anybody tasted the Lord. But when you fast forward, let me see the end of Solomon's life. Thank you very much. If you fast forward to chapter 11, I'm going to read some of the things he did so that you'll be very careful. Right. So then, so from verse 1, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, which God has said they shouldn't do. Right. As well as the daughter of Pharaoh, the women he had, Edomites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord has said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts from their gods. Solomon clung to this in love. He had 700 wife princesses and 300 concubines, and his wife turned away his heart. So it was so when Solomon was old that his wife turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to God, to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of Sidonites. He went after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as his father. He built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of the Ammon. He did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord God. And this happened when he was old. This was at his tail end. Do not compare yourself to men. Let your standard be God's word. Let the whole of Maryland disobey God in a specific item, but make sure you don't. The men you respect, the wisest men on earth, can turn their hearts from God. If you are not careful, you will turn your heart along with them. That's why the word of God must be the standard for all of us. Solomon's heart was turned away because he was careless on a simple point and instruction. Said, do not marry foreign women. It wasn't the same year that Solomon married those women that he began to build high places. The weakness came when he was old. He laid the foundation of his own downfall earlier on by an act of disobedience. So I warn you, New Covenant Church, all those scriptures that ministers have persuaded you that God is no longer serious about, you better go and pick it up. It is true that those things have not disrupted your faith right now. But if you remain, as we spoke about 4 weeks ago, if you remain in those disobedience, that thing will turn to downfall for you at your later days. For obedience is better than sacrifice. And listening to God is better than popularity and the fatness of ram. Let us learn from Solomon. Use Jesus as your standard. He was obedient to the Father, even to losing his life on the cross. The Lord does not expect it. In fact, he said, whoever keeps his life will lose it. I don't know what they are telling you these days. I don't know what books you are reading, what seminars are. This is what Jesus, my Savior, says. He said, if you love your life, your father, your mother more than me, you are not worthy of me. He said, you must count your, what is it? Count your, take up your cross and follow me. Okay. He said, count something. Count the cost. Thank you. Praise the Lord this morning. I just wanted to remind us that the good news that brought missionaries all the way to Africa in the late 19th century, the early 18th century, and by the grace of God, the idols beside our great-great-grandfather's house have barely disappeared. There are only very few residual Ogun Shekinikan in Africa. Now, all of them are now Oluwa Shekinikan. Some have stubbornly held on to their ancestral names. When I was growing up, it was Ifa, your schoolmates were Ifashebi, Ifabi, Shangonuga, Shangoshe. You know, these were all the gods of our fathers. But now, look at our children's name. Ti Oluwa Lope, to God be the glory. Oluwa Teniola, the Lord has. That used to be Shango Teniola. The work of the gospel that brought light to Africa, may it never be destroyed. Let us stand in that truth. Jesus is that light. And he's coming. He's coming. Don't be like the virgins without light, without oil. This is the gospel. Let's go back to the real thing. Struggle for your soul. Struggle for your... Don't become lazy. Don't become like Solomon. Don't be a man who started by consecrating his life and his building, consecrating everything. A man that was not conscious of fame and wealth and wanted only the wisdom to do God's will, and then become a man who is building an altar to Asherod by your mid-Christian life. Don't let that happen to you. Be fervent in spirit, because he's coming. And let's remind one another that he's coming. Good marriage, bad marriage, he's coming. Good children, bad children, he's coming. Night or day, he's coming. Suffering, fame, or otherwise, Jesus is coming. Prison, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Let's rise up. I want you to take some time and just pray a few minutes. And just talk to the Lord. This is the message 101 of the kingdom of God. He said we should go and say to people, the kingdom of God is at hand. Knowing these truths, the apostle said, we warn every man. The devil would rather we don't talk about the urgency of our time. He'd rather we focus on platitudes. We don't talk about anything that will rob the soul or make Sunday a little bit uncomfortable for anybody. He doesn't like that. But we preach what Jesus has sent us. And he said, behold, I come, and my reward is in my hands. Holy Spirit, please convict us. I remember the way you convicted me. You convicted me by showing me that your word is true and the state of my soul. And I called on you, Lord, and you came into my heart. And you brought your peace and reconciled me to you. Father, if any of us at this moment have by any degree drifted from the constancy, from your truth, my Lord, I pray that none of your children here will be lost in Jesus' name. Please bring us to the center of your will, where we are fervent in spirit, serving you. There's a saying in Yoruba land that says, the faith of our fathers that is not afraid of the sword, that is not afraid of the dagger. And this is the only faith I see in the Bible. We confess our weakness. We confess our humanity, Lord. We do not hide it. He said, whoever hides his sin will not prosper, but those who confess it will find grace in your sight. Lord, we want the faith that loves you more than this. Say, loveth you me more than all of this. The faith that sets us apart. The faith that loves truth. Jesus, help us to be one of those who are truly, truly acting and waiting and praying and longing for your coming. I pray that there will be nothing that matters to us more than the consolation of seeing you face to face. Lord, you said that there will be deceptive spirits in the last days. Please redeem us from this deception in Jesus' name. In that special way that you're able to speak to youths as you speak to the older ones, Father, please speak to all of us. Amen. Give all of us wisdom. I pray we will hear your truth in our own native language. Thank you for this Sunday. Bless this country, Lord. Our Father, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from every evil. Bless us. Let faith be restored in this country. I pray that the name of Jesus will be exalted. We thank you, Father. Those who are not well among us, you are the Lord that healeth us, the Lord our healer. Father, please touch them. Everything that is not in alignment in our homes, in our hearts, in our workplaces, we cast all before you, O Lord, and we declare the name of Jesus Christ. Pray that this congregation will be full of joy. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.